All right. Well, welcome back to the Find Your Spark podcast. My name is Ashley Hunt and
Brooke here.
And today we are coming to you from Boost, which is in Palm Springs, California. If you have been listening to our podcast for a while, you will remember last year and the year before we did this as well. And so usually it's just Brooke and I in an office and we're just chit-chatting back and forth. But today there's a lot of people staring at us while we're here. So we, as I said, we're at Boost. Boost is one of our favorite conferences to go to year after year. And we have had a lot of fun this week doing this. So much fun that I have kind of got a raspy voice because I've been screaming and yelling and cheering on. So yeah, that's where we're at.
So we have a live audience. You know, make some noise. So So today we are going to talk about sparking resilience and restoring hope, and what those two things that we've seen over and over in our work, how those two things really do help people that, I don't know, maybe have gone through trauma, been involved in, have some traumatic things happening currently, and how what we talk about every day in our work with Spark, how that understanding just helps people move and navigate life a little better. And so we're just going to share some stories, and then we're going to ask for some questions from our live audience, since we have a live audience today. So Ashley, very impromptu, if you were going to say in our work with young people, what is like the simplest way that you can talk about how we talk about how the mind works?
Yeah, so I would say in simplest terms is we talk about how your mind works and the way that where your feelings come from. So we show kids and we point to the fact that we, although we are all very different, we come from different backgrounds, different things, the way in which our minds work all are the same. We talk a lot about our thoughts and how our thoughts are creating our experience moment to moment. So in a very simple way, it is not you on the outside that is making me feel a certain way. It is actually what is going on in my own mind at any given time that is giving me that feeling. So we talk a lot about the thought-feeling connection. We talk about this spark that everybody has. So another thing that is really cool about how your mind works is that we believe that every single person, regardless of circumstances, everybody has this spark. That is your well-being. That is your resilience. It is your mental health. Everybody has it, no matter what you have ever done, no matter what thinking you got going on. At the core of it, we all have this spark. It just gets covered up a little bit. So that is like very brief what we explain, and then we just expand on it over and over in many different ways.
So one of the like the easiest ways to point that out to a group, because it does sound so simple, and a lot of times when we're talking to people, we had a really interesting conversation actually yesterday by the pool about why is what you're saying important, and what does this have to do with like systematic change and restorative justice and restorative practices and all of that. And the thing that I like to say is, when you understand how something works, and if you've been in any of our sessions, we use this example, is, you know, if you pick up a pencil and you drop it, or if you drop a pencil, you know it's gonna what? Fall, right? If you take your coffee cup and I say put it over your head and then drop it, most of you won't, because you know what's gonna happen. And it's the same thing, like when we understand gravity, we just kind of navigate life a little differently. We navigate it better, right? So little babies don't understand gravity, so usually there's a caretaker around them, like making sure that they don't go off the cliff or fall down the stairs, or there's baby gates, because they don't understand that yet. And it's the same thing with a very simple understanding of how your mind works. When you have that understanding, or the understanding that we talk about, then you just navigate a little better. And a lot of times, as adults, we kind of subconsciously learn some of the stuff we're going to talk about. But there's so many, and we take it for granted. But there's so many people that don't understand the simple things. So things look a little harder or they navigate differently. And so when we say that, it depends. When we go into jails and when we're talking to adults, we talk about the spark first. And we talk about how everyone has a spark no matter what has happened to them, no matter what decisions they may have made that led them to where they are, that it's unbreakable, it's undamageable. And like Ashley said, she said it's where your mental health, your well-being, all of that resides there. But it's also where your resilience resides and your confidence. So a lot of times we talk about resilience and confidence as something that we have to build up and work really hard to get to. Except for if you think about when you are around people that are you're really close to, like your best friends, the people that just accept you for exactly who you are, you're naturally confident. You don't have to work really hard to be confident around them. And so we talk to kids about, like, well, what's the difference there? The difference isn't something that all of a sudden you've built up those skills and you're confident now. It's a lack of a lot of insecure thinking. It's a lack of a lot of evaluative thinking inside of you. And so confidence is naturally there. Without all of this stuff, right, like, well-being is there. There are even, you know, we work a lot with, a lot of our mentors are like psychiatrists and psychologists that work with all sorts of mental health challenges. And one of them in particular talks about, like, he works in hospitals with people with schizophrenia. And he's like, and I can see it even with people that have these severe mental health challenges. There's a point sometimes where they settle and that wellness shines through. People with Alzheimer's, there's a point where sometimes that settles, right? And then that shines through. So how is that helpful to know, like, in the classroom when you've been talking to kids, like, the spark bit of it, how is that helpful?
Yeah, so just in the spark bit, I mean, one thing that we really talk a lot about is that wellness and that spark and like how everybody has it. And it also is giving you this guidance, right? So we talk about once all of that stuff drops away, there's this guidance that you have. Has anybody ever had that little voice? Like you go to do something and you probably shouldn't do it. And you got this like gut feeling or like, oh, don't do it. Anybody? Yeah, right? And then do you do it anyway sometimes? And then afterwards you like, gosh, dang it, I knew I wasn't supposed to do that, right? So we hone in on that. We show kids, hey, that is what we're wanting. When we say find your spark, that's what we're talking about. Like that's that spark that everybody has. That's that wholeness, that wellness. It's keeping you safe. It's guiding you. It's that intuition that everybody has. And so there are so many instances where working in the classroom, working in jails, that really shines through. One, just them understanding that they aren't all of their behavior. Like that's not who they are. They're not all of their thinking that they have. It's more than that. We've had kids that come to us with severe trauma and I still can see them drop. I still see them where that spark is shining, right? Like, has anybody experienced that before? Where you know children that you're working with, they have really been through some trauma and you see it. When we were in our session yesterday, we talked about like, what does that look like? Well, a lot of times they'll have their hoodie up, they're like, have their head down, they don't really wanna talk. But every once in a while, you will see that like pop of that spark. That's really what it is. It's that little spark that comes out. And so we really focus on that. We really speak to that part of them, knowing that all of that stuff will eventually drop away when we're just speaking to that. Sharing simple stories of how just understanding your spark is helpful. I've seen time and time and time again, but one that really pops up whenever I think about your spark is we had a kid in one of our classes and he, you know, we talk about this, right? And it's like, yeah, these are nice ideas, but also at the same time, they got to go back to their families. They got to go back to their living situations, right? And oftentimes it's not the best the best living situations. And so what do you do then? Or are they just going to say, well, I got to listen to my spark because they said that, right? Are they going to go back to their families and say that? So that always runs in the back of my head. But there was this kid that he came in, and we usually always are like, is there a time? Did anybody have a moment this weekend where like your spark was like popped in for you, or did anybody listen to their spark or not listen to their spark? And the not listening to your spark is always really interesting stories. But a time where a kid said, no, I did listen to my spark, was he was going with his uncle, and I've shared this before, but he was going with his uncle, and he, in his family, they always, they just, what they do is they sell drugs in their family. That's like what they do, right? And so this was just a regular weekend, like any other weekend that he'd have, and he was supposed to go and do that with his uncle. And he said he went to go do it right when he went to leave the house, and he had this moment where it didn't feel right in that instance. Something was telling him, maybe I shouldn't go do this today. And because we've talked about this so much in our classes of like, that's there for a reason, it made him pause, right? It just made him pause and think, wait a second, is this my spark that they keep talking about? Maybe I shouldn't do this. So then he went to try to go tell his uncle, I think we shouldn't do this. And the uncle does not know what your spark is. And he was like, okay, cool, but we're still going, right? And so they did. And when he was telling me the story, I was like, well, dang, okay, well, this isn't helpful. And he's like, no, but wait, this is what happened. And so as he went to the park, he said, because he had that knowing, like something feels off and I really should be listening to this, he was way more aware of his surroundings in that instance. And so when they were at the park going to do this, he said he just stopped and was like, something's going on. There is something off. And he heard the slightest rustling in the bushes, like just the slightest. His uncle didn't hear it. He did. And so he alerted his uncle and said, hey, we got to go. And so they went to go take off. And then suddenly people jumped out of the bushes with guns. But because he was so hyper aware that like that spark was like trying to help him for a reason, he heard and then they were able to get away. And then he was back in our class that next week. And so that's these simple just understanding of how your mind works. That's what we're talking about. It's navigating life differently. Like prior to understanding how that worked, he just went with it, right? And he may not have been in the class that next week because of it, but because he knew, hey, this is happening for a reason, he listened, and it helped him to navigate differently.
And I think it's really easy to be like, well, that's intuition, right? Like they're just talking about intuition. But one of the things that we talk a lot about is the thought, feeling, connection, and how your experience is coming from the inside. And what that allows you to, when you start to see like, yeah, I can feel a certain way, right? Because I'm thinking a certain way, and that's fine. Like that's how we create all the things in our life. But when it becomes a game changer is when you have that awareness, right? There's just a bit of an awareness that you have once you start to understand how your mind works a little better. So it's not as like intuition-y as that story points out. It's just a really cool story. But it's an awareness piece that you walk around with, just like we were talking about with gravity. When you walk around with an awareness of how gravity works, you just navigate a little different. One of the stories that I think is really powerful that I've seen just in my own personal life very recently is, some of you may know this, I know our listeners know, but I adopted 3 children in 2019, and they have been through some severe things, like things you would read about in a newspaper kind of stuff. But they've lived with us for years now. They're actually my niece and 2 nephews, and I have 2 children of my own, biological children, so I have 5 kids at home. And they've kind of grown up with this understanding of the mind that we talk about. And one of the things that we talk a lot about is you have this wellness inside that's unbreakable, right? That we've been, this spark we've been talking about. But also you have the ability, like your mind, your thoughts and your feelings are the most creative, like powerful force you have. They can take you into the depths of despair, and they can give you the most amazing, joyful experiences of your life. And that's just life, right? Like, that is just how life works. And the way in which we navigate that understanding, like, we have the power to create incredible things, and we have the power to create really dark things as well. Like, it's just, that's just life. So we have a snow globe at our booth, and we talk about, like, when we are in, we can't control what comes in our mind, right? We can't control our thoughts. If we could, if we could get really good at controlling our thoughts, we would, all of us service helpers, we'd probably be out of jobs, right? Like, if somehow someone was like, we got it, we got the positive thinking, like, skill, and this step 1 through 10, this is what you do, and everyone's a positive thinker, we would be out of jobs. But we don't get that opportunity. We have like 120,000 thoughts that run through our mind a day. We don't get to choose which ones they are. But where we do have a little bit of navigation is when we have awareness, we get to choose which ones we follow, right? Like, how far are we gonna let this go? And so my daughter, who is 16 now, called me earlier this year, or she texted me from school, and she's like, Mom, are you signing me out? Someone just called from the office. And I was like, no, I'm not signing you out. I'm about to go to a very important meeting. And she's like, okay, I said, just let me know what's going on. And she called me frantically, and she said, Mom, there's a police officer here, and he's telling me he wants to interview me about something that happened with this girl that she used to know before she came to live with us. And I said, can I talk to an adult? And so then the principal came on the phone, and he was like, hi, I just want to let you know, I wanted to intercept this. I don't know what's going on, but the police officer's here, an investigator's here, wants to talk to Alexa. And then the investigator got on the phone and was like, the principal shouldn't have called you, basically. And there's an open investigation. I need to talk to your daughter. And that, there's so many issues with that in my brain, right? Come to find out, that is the protocol. Like, when there's abuse allegations, that's the protocol for the police just to come without the parent. Blows my mind. Anyway, she talks to this police officer, and the investigator is asking her very personal questions about stuff that happened when she was younger. And she came home, and I had my mom go pick her up, and she came home, and in my mind, I'm like, oh my gosh, it's like so re-traumatizing, right? Like, so triggering. God, this is awful. I'm crying. I'm like in a state of, what is this going to do? She's made so much progress. How is this going to affect her? And she was just like, I can't control what happened to me in the past, but I can control if I concentrate on what those questions they asked me. And it was in that moment that I was like, gosh, she understands what I'm teaching. Like, she gets it way more than I did in that moment. And she said, I just know that if I let myself go there, I know how it's going to affect me. And I've come so far. She just kept going, Mom, I've come so far. I don't have to go back there. It's not happening anymore. And then she said, but I've already reached out to her therapist. She goes, I've already made an appointment with that person tonight. But I'm not, and she did all that on her own. And that's the wellness piece I'm talking about. Her spark said, this is where I've been. I know what happens if I allow my mind is so powerful. If I allow it to go down here, you know, I know the dark place I could get to. But I also know, like, I have a resource. I called my therapist already, have an appointment, and I'm good. And that's the resilience piece. Mm-hmm. That is so inside. If anything, those children, my children, have shown me, like, resilience is so innate, right? We always say kids are so resilient. Like, people are so resilient. It's the human spirit. It's in everybody. And pointing to that in a way that's hopeful and not like, this is a lot of work, we're going to have to really gut through this. It's like, no, you have this. You just have to remind yourself. And you have the power with awareness to know which direction to go in any given moment. And we have this conversation a lot in our office, like, not toxic positivity, because life is not positive. Like, that instance is not positive. There's no, like, sugarcoating what happened is in any way a good thing or should be tolerated, and we're working with the investigator now. Like, none of that. It's not a, that didn't happen, ignore it because it's going to make you good. It's not that. It's, I can navigate this in a way that's healthy for me because I know what I have access to. I know I have this wellness. Nothing can take that away. It's unbreakable. Not even what happened to me. Not even that police officer doing what I think is a horrible practice. Right? That can't affect my wellness that's inside. And also, I know how to navigate because I know how the mind works. Like, I know which direction is going to be useful for me.
I was thinking with the restoring hope part of it, that's the beauty and understanding that you have this spark is in and of itself restores hope. Because when you think you don't, or you think you are broken and too far gone, then that is hopeless. Like, that feels hopeless, and why bother? But just like with your daughter, understanding, like, she just, it's ingrained in her. Like, she knows that resilience she has regardless of anything that's going on. And so because she knew this, that was such a hopeful thing for her in that instance and continuing. I think had she not understood that, that little part could have really set her back, because if you didn't understand and you didn't know the spark and you didn't know, then it could feel really hopeless. Like, I tried and I tried and I worked really hard, and then somebody just pops back in and brings up all of this stuff, and here it is again, and that could feel hopeless. But because she knew this, that's what I saw in it. Like, she just really understood that she had this, and it was powerful for her. It was hopeful for her, and it helped to guide her to move forward in a way that was best for her. Which I also love with your story too, is that, like, she did that on her own. You didn't have to go telling her.
I was going this way. I was like a total, like, spiraling
in the
other direction.
She was spiraling in the other direction. And yeah, exactly.
So, yeah. I think questions?
I would love questions. Yeah.
Do you guys have strategies for redirecting these thoughts or anything like that? Do you use, like, what's a good strategy for, like, getting someone to redirect those thoughts?
So the question is, do you have strategies for redirecting the thoughts? Yeah. So I would say not for redirecting the thoughts, because, again, have you ever tried to, like, do you ever, like, have thinking that feels really heavy and you're like, God, I just don't like this. Like, can I just think of something else? What happens in those times? You keep thinking about it, right, like more and more and more and more. It's like a, you know, you shouldn't be thinking about it, whatever it is, because it's bringing you down. So then you try to get out of it. The way we talk about how your mind works is, like, there's always another thought behind the one you're having. And one of the things that I think humans in general get stuck in is, like, they're afraid of the feeling, right? I had a terrible dream last night about one of my other kids, and I woke up and my heart was just heavy, and I tried to get her on the phone, and she's in college, and I'm like, where are you? And then her location on her phone's off, and I'm like, right? Also, I knew that was generate, like, it couldn't hurt me because there was nothing real about that. But there are times that something is real in your life, and it's, and you have a lot of thinking about it, and it is heavy. I think there's one, and I say this a lot, if there's one thing that I want to teach kids is there is no such thing as a solution to a feeling. Feelings come and go. They're not, they can't hurt you. And they will pass. And that's one of the most hopeful things. It's like, you can't be stuck in a feeling forever. And so, the more you realize that's how your mind is working, the more space you can give yourself to let those feelings feel them, right? Gotta feel them. Feel them, and they pass. The more we resist a feeling, it's like marrying it. It's gonna keep coming back. gonna keep coming. If you're like, I cannot feel that, and there's a lot of different ways that we can process it, but it's understanding how your mind works is like you get. I feel stuff way deeper than I ever did because I allow myself to feel it, and then it passes faster. So, you know, there's a lot of like reframe your thoughts and all that stuff, but really you're just allowing yourself to, you know, it's just another, like, it's another thought giving you another feeling.
It's like perseverance. Not a lot, because you accept it and
move on. Yeah. But a feeling's not telling you anything other than what's going on in your mind at the moment. So sometimes people ask, like, what's the difference between your spark and a feeling? It's like, your feelings yell at you. They're like the picketers. Like, they got picket signs, and, like, they're screaming at you, and your spark is, like, you're coming from your heart. Mm-hmm. It's where your heart rests. Any other questions? Yes.
What made you go into helping, like, trafficking survivors or into that? Was it because of your nieces and nephew, or...
It's a really good question. It's personal, so when we started that work was prior to. So I got into the work because my nieces and nephews lost their dad by suicide, and it happened in front of them. So the work I'm in now was a reflection. I used to work in drug and violence prevention, and when that happened, I just knew, like, I was working in drug and violence prevention, and I was like, there's something about what I'm teaching. I'm missing something. Like, there's a missing link in between how we're dealing with the mind. And so I went on a search to figure out, like, what is it about the mind that some people, right, can grow up, like my husband, in the same family as my brother-in-law, you know, very toxic, like, a lot of drugs, a lot of violence in the family, and my husband can be, you know, so resilient, never touch drugs, the most kind-hearted, would never be violent. Versus, and my brother-in-law, I mean, I love him. He grew up in a family with very little options and choices, and that's what was around him. So, like, what's the difference there? And at first, I saw, like, mindset is the difference. Like, my husband is very, like, you don't let yourself go down this path. Like, you just, you know, very, like, this is the way it is kind of thing. Like, I'm going to keep myself above the water. But then there was more to it than that, right? Like, more to what is the difference there. And so that's how I ended up in the work. The sex trafficking survivors is out of a very, very personal, close to my heart trauma that I went through when I was younger. Yeah. Yes.
How do you start the conversation with the child? I heard there's, you know, it's often like a clinical setting, but how do you start the process with them? Is it through game? Is it through what does your interaction with them look like so you can get to them and build that relationship to actually talk to them on that level?
Yeah. So the question was, how do you start this conversation with kids? Like, how does this translate over? And we have so many different ways we do it. So we have a full program, and we've just kind of organically done this. We've went in the classroom and tried out activities to see if they worked, and then came back to the office and was like, that failed miserably, never mind, let's do something else. And then go back, and then the kids are like, no, that really was helpful, I really like that. So we did it that way for a while, and then we got something pretty solid. And so that's how we start conversations, is we come in, first and foremost, we're coming in just to connect with them, just to, like, we're coming in just getting to know them, wanting to understand them, and then we start this conversation in various different ways. We do games. I'm very visual, so we have lots of visual activities. We have, just in a simple form, like when you, if you go over to our booth, you'll see something that we start the conversation with, is we have a snow globe. And everybody familiar with what a snow globe looks like? I'm going to pretend like I have one in my hand right now. But in that snow globe that we have, there's this heart right there. And so we talk about how your mind works just like the snow globe, that everybody has this spark that's inside that we keep talking about. It is your resilience. It is your wellness. Everybody has this. And then I shake up the snow globe and I talk about, but this is what happens when you have a lot of thinking going on, right? Like you get so overwhelmed and you get all sorts of thinking. And so what happens when you shake up a snow globe? You can't see, right? It's cluttered. You can't see what's in the middle of it. And so then we talk about how your mind works just like that, is that when left alone, if I had my snow globe here, if I left it alone, what would happen? It would settle, right? And so we talk about that's how your mind is. When left alone, if we're not sitting there trying to figure it out and trying to, it will naturally settle. Your mind wants to settle. It is resilient. And so your mind works just like that. It settles. And then what's there? That spark is shining through again. And then we pick it back up and we shake it up again. And then we settle. And so that's one way in which we do it. And we have all different ways. We play charades. We play games. We do discussion pieces. We show demos just like that. So all different ways to start.
And I would say when we're with kids, you know, in schools and that kind of setting, we're not talking about their trauma. We're not in a clinical setting. We're literally giving them an education of how their mind works. Mm-hmm. And then there are obviously other, you know, resources that schools have or that the rehab centers have that it really is. Someone said this one time to her and I just love it. It's like, it's the leave-in conditioner of the shampoo process, right? It helps the foundation of it. And then you can, other things help, like obviously therapy and whatever else the child needs. But whoever we were talking to yesterday, we were talking about restorative practices. Like, yeah, but this is a really good foundation to using restorative practices. Because when you understand yourself better, we call it like the 100% accountability model. When you understand where your feelings are coming from, you can better take accountability for your part in whatever process is happening. But if it really looks like you are making me mad, you are doing this to me, you lose all your control, right? And children especially have very little control in their lives just by how we have the world set up, right? Kids make very few decisions themselves. They have very little control. And so when it also looks like the way I'm feeling is out of my control, that's a whole other level. But when you can take some of that back, right? Like the way I react to this, the way I am experiencing this is within me. There's a lot more like locus of control there.
Based on, again, impulses or because they feel like, well, I'm a bad kid, or they make those choices when they're not listening to that spark of, should I do that or not? And so how would you kind of navigate that conversation with a younger kid that might not grasp that initially of that accountability piece?
Tell me what age you're thinking of.
We service TK to high school, so it ranges, but I mean, I would say, yeah, like TK to third grade.
So with our younger kids, we do a lot of play, right? Like we make cookies sometimes and show them the different icing. Like if you put more food coloring in, it gets darker and darker and darker. So like that's kind of how your thoughts work. If you like add more thinking, your feelings will get more intense. We have like a Curious is our mascot, and he's a dragonfly, and he's in search for his feelings. So there's books about how he goes in search for friendship and feelings. And we talk about just your spark is your treasure chest. And so like you put like different little treasures and the kids make a treasure chest. And that's where the things that are good about them that they like, they create their own. There's just tons of different activities.
One that I love to do with the kids just to understand their feelings in such a simple way with the little ones is we just take bubbles. So we'll take bubbles and we blow bubbles. And I ask half of the group to just focus on the little bubbles. Just focus on the little bubbles and see what happens. And then I ask the other half of the group, look at the bigger bubbles and focus on those and you tell me what happens. And then what do they tell me? They both are telling me the same thing, like, oh, I watched it and then eventually it popped, right? And so we talk about how that's like your big feelings and your small feelings. You're gonna feel them, and sometimes they're really small and sometimes they're really big, but inevitably they will pop, they will pass, and more will come through. So that's like super simple ways in which we do that. Yeah, like that. That's one of my favorites. I think it's helpful for adults too.
Yeah, I love the middle schoolers, and she's our resident like little people teacher. So yeah. good answer.
Yeah. Any other questions y'all have? All right. Well, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you. And for those that are on our podcast listening, obviously, just like every other week, we will be putting out new episodes every Tuesday, and you can find us on all of our social medias at Spark Initiative and Spark Mentoring and hashtag Find Your Spark. So join us back next week, and if you have any topics, as always, please email us info@thesparkinitiative.com. We would love some new topics to talk about, so we'll see you next week.
And also, one last thing.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I want to say, I just told a story about my daughter, but she did a podcast. Mm. She asked to do a podcast, and she did one very recently. And so if you're interested in hearing more from her, I highly suggest it. I was so proud.
Yeah, yeah, that was good.
I did not host it, so I listened to it when it came out. I was like, yeah. Oh. Proud mom moment.
All right. Bye, guys. It takes a spark. Start a fire. It takes a heart to have desire. It takes some sweat to build it higher. But don't give up, 'cause you're a fire.